In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. If you had seen him walking the streets of Jerusalem earlier that day, you would have thought, this is the most burdened man I've ever seen. He looks as if his heart were absolutely broken. Shoulders would have been slumped over, maybe tears in his eyes. You would have heard his sighing to the other outside of the city limits. He looked as though he had no hope left in all the world. You would have thought to yourself, how can anybody be that discouraged? But he was. You were right. This is a young priest who thought the world has fallen apart. Uzziah was dead. So who was Uzziah? Uzziah was a good and godly king. He had ruled his people for about 50 years, and his reign was marked as one of the highlights of the nation. His rule had been a time of political stability, financial prosperity. As long as anybody could remember, the land and its people had flourished under Uzziah's leadership. Now he's dead. And nobody knows what to expect. What's going to happen to our nation? What's going to happen to our people? What's going to happen to me when everything has fallen apart? Will people still follow the Lord? Will the new leaders who arise still serve with wisdom? Will the nation continue to be stable, or is this the beginning of the end? Not only that, Isaiah felt his own sense of calling was slipping away. When Isaiah had been chosen to come and be one of the priests in Jerusalem, he thought this was the beginning of a wonderful life of serving God and his people. He was sure that his time in Jerusalem was part of a rich future that God had planned for him. As a temple priest, he would serve the king. Maybe even find a way to have real spiritual impact, to influence decisions that were made by those who actually determined the destiny of the nation. Now he wasn't sure. What's going to happen to me? Where do I turn? How can I find any hope? Is it any wonder that Isaiah on that day was both confused and discouraged? Nothing was turning out the way he thought it would. My guess is there have been times when you've encountered that same kind of season in your own life. Maybe you're going through one of those seasons today. Where do I turn? What do I do? What do I want to make of my life? How is God working out a plan for me? What happens when everything seems to be turned upside down? When things you thought you could depend upon have let you down? When you wonder where to turn and what to do? Those seasons come in all of our lives. They come sometimes in the younger seasons of our life. Sometimes they come in the middle season, and sometimes they come in the older season. Those times when something happens that just seems to tear your world apart, and you're not sure where to turn and why God let that happen. And doubt and discouragement can come. If you've ever known how that felt, if you're dealing with those kinds of feelings today, then the Lord has a word for you that can transform your life from discouragement and defeat to absolute confidence that God is faithful. And we find it in this encounter that Isaiah had so very long ago. So let's explore what God did through Isaiah's life. And the first thing you need to know is this. In a time like that, Isaiah needed an authentic vision of the Lord. That's why we need to see all of that first verse, not just part of that first verse, because what he said was, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. At the very bottom of my life, when I felt like I was so deep down in the well, I was never going to be able to get out again, I saw the Lord. He needed to see the Lord again because discouragement had clouded Isaiah's vision. He was afraid that the Lord didn't care, or that the Lord had lost his grip on the world. Could it be that God was not as almighty as Isaiah had always believed he was? Could it be that things were falling apart, not because the Lord would not do anything? Maybe God could not do anything. And he began to experience real fear in his heart, because maybe I placed all of my hope and all of my trust and all of my faith on someone who cannot do what I thought he would be able to do. You see, Isaiah's doubt had caused him to lose sight of a holy God. He lost a vision of God in all of his strength and all of his power. That happens a lot to people these days. It's not so much that people stop believing in God, it's that they lose sight of his holiness and his majesty. And they begin to believe that he is too weak or too far away to really make a difference in the world and in their lives. Here's the thing. The more you lose sight of who God really is, the more you lose trust in what he can do for you and for the world around you. Maybe today you're here, and what you need more than anything is a fresh new vision of the power and the majesty and the holiness of Almighty God. You need to see him as he truly is. Isaiah testified, I saw the Lord. Isaiah saw the Lord. For years, when I read that passage, I had the same image in my mind. I would think about how Isaiah went to the temple one day, and as he stood to the entrance inside the doors of the temple, he saw God in the place of the Holy of Holies, a throne, seated on the throne, the Lord himself. On either side of the temple, seraphim crying, holy, holy, holy. It is a magnificent vision. But here's the thing I've realized. It's not nearly enough to understand what Isaiah really saw. This is what Isaiah described. He said, on that day when he was so discouraged, on that day when he did not have any hope, on that day when he was afraid the world was falling apart, he was on his way to the temple, still some distance away, and suddenly he was overwhelmed by a huge vision before him. The sky above the temple, as high as his eyes could see, was filled with a vision of the Lord seated on his throne. The vision was too majestic, too overwhelming for any building to contain the power and the majesty of God. In fact, this is what Isaiah says. He says, this vision of the Lord was so majestic that the temple was only large enough to contain the tip of God's robe. There was just enough of the very bottom of the majesty of God to fill this place where he had gone to worship. And everywhere he looked, from east to west, all he could see was majesty. The angels filled the sky. They thundered their praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah was making his way to the temple, and he thought, maybe God is not big enough. Maybe God is not strong enough. Maybe God is losing control. And then he saw that there was nowhere in the world not covered with the majesty of God. The Lord knew he needed that huge revelation of a powerful, almighty God. You see, Isaiah convinced himself that the biggest thing in his life was his troubles. The biggest thing in my life is the things that are discouraging me, the doubts that I have, the fears that I'm carrying, the problems that are burdening me down. Those are the biggest things. They're all I can think about. He'd allowed his burdens to obscure his ability to see the Lord. Isaiah needed to catch a glimpse of holy reality. You see, God's greatness had always filled all of creation. Everything around you, every sight, every vision, every molecule, every atom, saturated with the majesty of God. But Isaiah needed to know that God was that vast, that strong. He needed what only God can give. So the Lord opened Isaiah's eyes and revealed himself in a way that overwhelmed him. You can only imagine how this man who just a few moments ago was filled with tears and stooped over and in despair suddenly was blown backwards by this vision in front of him. More than he could possibly begin to comprehend, God showed himself as who he was. Isaiah, I know that things have been going wrong. Isaiah, I know that the king is dead. Isaiah, I know about your fears and your doubts, but I want you to know something. I am here, and I am God. There are times when that's exactly what all of us need. Your vision is obscured by the obstacles that trouble and overwhelm you. You look around at what's happening in the world and you wonder, who's winning the day? Sometimes you can't see beyond your own troubles. And in those times when you are discouraged, and in those times when you are fearful, and in those times when you wonder if it's just time to give up, this is what God wants you to know. There is a mighty Savior who wants you to see Him. He is revealing Himself to you in power. And remember this, whatever may happen, He is never out of control. Nothing is too big for Him to handle. Nobody is too small for Him not to notice. No sin is beyond His power to forgive. Look above your problems and your failures, and there He is, the Lord, high and lifted up. If you're struggling today, if you're dealing with discouragement and doubt and fear, recognize this: there is a mighty God, and He knows who you are, and He knows what's happening in your life, and He is greater than anything that will come your way. You can depend upon Him and lean on Him and trust in Him, and He will always be there for you. And there is nothing, nothing beyond His power to redeem. He is the Lord. And in that moment, God changed Isaiah's heart. He goes on, and this is what he testifies. He says, "So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" This is where heart change always begins. It begins with confession of sin and admission of surrender. Isaiah saw God for who He was, but he also saw himself for who he was. He was broken by the absolute holiness of God and the realization, my sin separates me from God. I am unclean. My people are unclean. I'm worried about whether God has the power to save. I need to understand we are helpless in our sin. He needed to know that because Isaiah had begun to depend upon other things to make himself believe he had a real sense of worth. He was a priest, after all. set aside to serve God and to handle the sacrifices of the people. He was a priest in Jerusalem. He was somebody on the way up. He was pretty sure, in and of myself, I have everything I need to make somebody out of myself. He thought he was qualified to make a difference in the world. This is what Isaiah discovered. You cannot see the Lord as he really is without seeing yourself as you really are. Isaiah had been overwhelmed by the majesty of God. Now he was broken by the realization, the understanding, the recognition of his own sinfulness. But then the Lord did something astounding. He sent an angel to touch Isaiah with a coal from the altar and with a message. Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Just when Isaiah was about to feel this great sense that my sin has separated me from God and there's nothing I can do, God said to him, in essence, you're exactly right, Isaiah. There is nothing, nothing you can do. But I can do it. I can make you clean again. I can take away your sin. What God did for Isaiah is the gospel in a nutshell. The Lord doesn't want you to be trapped by your sin. His touch is the only thing that can make you clean. He can and he will touch you. But here's the thing. The gospel has to be personal. It's not just for all of us. It is for you alone. You have to individually trust his saving power. That's why Isaiah heard the Lord tell him, you're. Isaiah, this is about you. One of the things that I think is astounding is that Isaiah gives this testimony and he says, I saw the Lord. And I was broken before the Lord. And the Lord sent that angel with a coal, and he touched my lips and he said, I make you clean. But here's the astounding thing. And as far as everybody else was concerned, it was just another day in Jerusalem. People must have seen Isaiah standing on the street, staggered by the majesty, the power of God, and walked by and thought, what's going on with that man? I'm on my way to the market to buy food for dinner. I'm on my way to the temple to offer a sacrifice. I'm going about my business, and as far as everybody else was concerned, it was just another day as a normal day, because it was not their personal time. I believe that in everybody's life, there comes that moment when God reveals himself in such a powerful way that you know, I've got to do something with Jesus Christ. And it's not because everybody's hearing it. It's because he is speaking just to you. The way I like to describe it is to say there comes that moment in your life when the truth becomes your truth. When something you've heard and believed all of your life all of a sudden becomes intensely personal. And you know, I've got to do something about this. And that's exactly what was going on in Isaiah's life. He heard God say, Isaiah, you. And his encounter with God made him a new man. He became one of God's redeemed because he heard God speaking to his heart. And then the Lord gave a new man a new commission. Isaiah had become a new creation. Now he heard the voice of the Lord. I think everything changed all of a sudden. This is what I think happened. Isaiah had seen the majesty of God. Isaiah had heard the seraphim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." It had broken him. I'm a sinful man. I live in a sinful people. It had been this incredibly overwhelming experience. And then, I think everything changed. And he heard this still small voice, not thundering, not shouting, but speaking clearly and personally. "Who shall I send? Who shall go for us?" His response was immediate. "Here am I. Send me." Just a little while earlier, Isaiah the priest had been absolutely preoccupied with his own concerns and his own fears. But God transformed him. And now God put a whole new calling on his life. By hearing God's call, Isaiah the priest became Isaiah, God's prophet. He thought that he was going to spend a lifetime serving the temple. He thought that he would gain status by his service to the kingdom. But now he heard God calling him, "Isaiah, I need a prophet. I need someone who can speak God's word to a people who are desperate to hear about his love." Not only did he become a prophet, but he was one who became a messenger of the coming Messiah. God didn't just call Isaiah to tell folks, "Thus saith the Lord." He also said, "Here's the plan." He became the one who would be told to proclaim, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." He would be the one who would declare, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Isaiah would call out to his people, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." From that day forward, fear would be replaced by faith. Even though he would face overwhelming obstacles, he would do so with the boldness that only God can give. And he would live his life with a confident sense of purpose. You see, this is what happened that day. Whatever might happen, Isaiah knew he had said yes to God's call on his life. And that changed everything. And that's exactly God's plan for you and for me. It is God's plan that you say yes to the Lord, that you say yes to salvation, that you say yes to surrender, that you say yes to his call on your life, whatever that might mean, and wherever that might lead you. Our power passage for this morning is very simple. It's to hear God's call. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And how you respond to that verse makes all the difference. So I guess my question this morning is, like Isaiah, are you ready to say, here I am? Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. You've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe today is the day when you say to the Lord, here I am. Maybe God's placing a call on your life, and that call is to bring your membership to this church so you can serve Him through this place, and you need to say to the Lord, here I am. Maybe He's placing a special call on your life, and you know what it may be. It may be a call to missions. It may be a call to ministry. It may be a call to service in some special way. I don't know what it is, but maybe you do. And you need to say, here I am. Is God doing something in your life? Is He calling on you in some special way? If He is, in a minute when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, if you want to come to know Christ, I'll be glad to lead you to know the Savior. If you need to follow His call, I'll be glad to pray with you as you trust Him. If He's calling you to be part of this fellowship, I'll be so glad to welcome you into this place. Can you hear His voice? What's He saying to you? You come. Let's stand together and let's sing.